This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
This is Nation Radio, 22 minutes before 1 o'clock. We're here until 2. We've got a great second hour for you as well. Jason Strudwick has been writing some great articles for a long time on Oilers Nation, but recently about the draft and about free agency. We'll talk to him about his recent retirement, moving into post-hockey career business, and looks like he's going to be doing a little bit of media work. And talk to him about the free agency that he went through for a decade. Every June 30th, he went to bed going, oh, I wonder where I'll be tomorrow. We'll talk about that story and more with Jason Strudwick at 1 o'clock. And Jonathan Willis, we haven't had John on in a while. He'll be on next hour as well. We'll go through the draft, free agency, Justin Schultz, Neil Yakupov, Ryan Smith, and more. That's all with Jonathan Willis. And that's coming up before 2 o'clock today. Now joined by Andrei Osachenko from Oilers Nation. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I love your article that was just posted about an hour ago. Neil Yakupov, I want to prove to the Oilers they made the right choice. That's a brilliant article. He's a very engaging young man.
He is, and he doesn't feel afraid of showing his emotions to the fans or in the media. He's very active on Twitter and with any reporters who request interview with him. He's very open about everything that happens in his life.
When did you do this interview with him?
That was a week ago.
Okay. All right. So I looked through and I read it twice, but I might have missed it. There was no talk of contract aside from that brilliant quote about knock it off about asking about KHL. There was nothing specific about contract in there.
You mean KHL contract?
Yeah.
Well, because the situation is that young players are not getting any contracts in the KHL. I mean, they are getting contracts, but they don't have any ice time. So all this talk about how, you know, if you draft a kid and he's not going to be in the NHL in the next two seasons, he's going to leave to the KHL. Well, he doesn't exactly have a lot of ground underneath it. If a guy doesn't make it to the NHL and he's, say, 20 years old and he lives to the KHL and he actually plays in the KHL, it's got to be a very exceptional case. And because why there are so many Russians playing at the CHL right now? Because it's easier for them to come over here and prove themselves to North American scouts, possibly get drafted, and crack the NHL lineup. It's easier for them, in a way, than it is to crack the KHL lineup, because I believe last season, average KHL team's age was 29.6.
And that's happening more and more often with these young kids from Russia and Slovakia and that sort of thing. They're coming over to the CHL, playing in the OHL or the Q or the Western League, and then they're improving their draft stakes that way.
Well, yes, but then again, there are a lot of Czechs and Slovaks coming over to the CHL for an entirely different reason, because for Czechs and Slovaks, it's basically the only way to keep their hockey careers going. While in Russia, there still is an alternative. It's just that you're going to be stuck in juniors and minor leagues for way longer than you would hear in North America.
Would that be something that would impact Marincin's choice to come over here, or Gernot as well?
Well, yeah, because Gernot and Marincin, and there's another guy, Yurcho, who I think they all come from the same town, I believe. Maybe Marincin was born outside of Kashyvka. But anyways, it's just hockey teams are very poor down there, and hockey leagues aren't the greatest. So the level of hockey that is played, even in pro Slovakian leagues, is it's not good. So it's better for their development to come over here.
In your interview with Yakupov that's posted up on the Oilers Nation site right now, you talked to him about his experience at the development camp, the Oilers development camp. He seems to have really enjoyed his time at the development camp.
Well, I think everybody who saw here the highlights of his goal celebrations and generally just the highlights from the training camp would be able to tell you the same, right? I mean, the kid is always smiling, and he appreciates the fact that there were, I believe, an average of 2,000 fans showing up for every practice, and he didn't expect that. So it was an emotional boost for him as well. So, yeah, he's enjoying himself out there.
He was a rock star in this town when he was here. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. Everybody for the entire week was talking about Neil Yakupov, and that YouTube video went viral here in the city because he scored three different ways and three different celebrations, and just a ridiculous talent.
Well, yeah, I think it's an exceptional talent, and you know how I think when he was playing for the Sting in the Ontario Hockey League, he was only being given enough credit for breaking Steven Stamkos' Rocky goal scoring record for the Sting, and then he came to the World Juniors, and everybody expected him sort of to pull off the same stuff, and he didn't because he didn't score a single goal in that tournament, and everybody kind of thought, well, maybe he's not as good as we thought he was. Well, in my take on this is that he just showed you that he can play another game. He can be a playmaker. He can be this. He can be a dangler. He can be anything you basically want a hockey player to be.
I had a look at his Sarnia Sting season and compared it to Taylor Hall about a week ago. And what I found interesting was, whereas Hall did a lot of scoring on the power play, Yakupov, because the Sting is not as strong a team, the power play numbers weren't there, but he was outstanding in even strength. He was really creating at the most difficult discipline for any hockey player at 5-on-5.
Right, and I think that actually speaks. It's a much better stat than, you know, power play stats. Besides, if I want to mention that by the end of the regular season, and especially in the first round of Ontario Hockey League playoffs, Yakupov wasn't given as much of an ice time as you would think. I think in game 4 or game 3, he played just under 10 minutes, and he didn't play a single maybe he played one shift on the power play. And we talked about this with him, and he said, hey, I don't know. It's coach's decision. I don't know what's happening.
I found it interesting in your article, which is called Nail Yakupov, I Want to Prove the Oilers Made the Right Choice, that he really had no idea if he was going to go number one overall to the Oilers. It was a matter of sitting down there and waiting to see how it unfolded for him, too.
Well, right, because, in fact, I don't think anybody knew for sure that, you know, Steve Tambellini would make this call, right?
Well, except Sam Gagner, who apparently found a phone near him and called him right afterwards. That's a great part of your story. Were you surprised when he told you that?
I actually was. I was going through the pictures that he took right after the draft, and I saw him, you know, talking on his phone. I was like, hey, his agent is there. His mom and dad are there. So Steve Tambellini is there, and a lot of other Oilers guys are there. So who is he talking to? So, yes, I was exceptionally surprised when he told me that it was Sam Gagner.
From the development camp, you talk quite at length in the article about you know, his experiences. He took away some things about nutrition and about training as well. Obviously, it was beneficial for him, even though it was a very short time. He got a lot out of it.
Well, it's not that he got a lot out of it, because in that article, he also said that, hey, I didn't learn a lot of new things because his dad was a hockey coach for 25 years now, I believe. Before that, he also worked, after that, he worked with Alex Galchenyuk's father, who has also been in hockey for over 20 years now, and they know this kind of stuff. What the Oilers taught him was just little things that he had no idea about, and he says that, you know, even though they look so little and are unimportant, they're actually very important, and he understood that.
The Oilers, right now, at some point in time, Yakupov signs, comes in, makes the team. They might be looking for something of a mentor from that part of the world for Yakupov. And in your previous conversations, especially with Igor Larionov, the interview that you did with him earlier in the summer, he talked about how important it is for these kids from Russia to get into the right situation. Do you think that kind of thing, to have a mentor on the team, is important for Yakupov?
I think it's more important for Yakupov to be surrounded by all this exceptional young talent that the Oilers surely have, you know, like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Taylor Hall, and just to name a few guys, right? Mm-hmm. Devan Dubnyk, right? It's something you want to be surrounded with, I guess, because Oilers are trying to build a young team, and then they want to take this young talent that they have to take it to another level. And I think that Yakupov signing would be just another brick in this huge wall that they're building. And I think that's more important to him than having just, you know, a sole mentor guy who'd be, well, I think the Oilers actually have a mentor for him. I'm not too sure about the atmosphere in the locker room, but I think Ryan Smith could be, you know, this mentor dude that you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. He bleeds copper and blue. He'd be a good one. I know you talked a little bit in the article, but how much time did you spend discussing Yakupov's Twitter and how good he is at it?
It's quite a story, actually, because I think before he was drafted first overall, he had about, I want to say, 10,000 followers. And he signed up for Twitter not that long ago. I think maybe a month and a half, roughly speaking. And then the number of his followers just kept growing and growing and growing for obvious reasons. But now he's getting so many tweets from Canadian fans that about, you know, him tweeting in Russian because Canadians want him to tweet in English. And they would tweet, some of them would be kind of polite about this, and some of them would just, I think, cross the line. Like, people would say, hey, Russia, Canadians don't like Russians, please don't tweet in Russian, we hate Russians, and stuff like that. And that pisses Yakupov off, and he answers them back in Russian, hey, who are you to tell me what language should I tweet in, right? And mm-hmm. I think she's not crossing the line. Like, she's not being rude to fans,
right?
But you have to understand where she's coming from. I mean, he was born in Russia. He's very proud of this fact. He left his family. All of his friends are there. He's currently in Russia. And he has Russian fans too. And that's his language that he can express himself more beautifully in, I think, than in English.
Absolutely. Freedom of speech. It's okay. He can tweet in any language he wants to. And he's obviously very good at it because, you know, you've got 140 characters and he engages everybody, whether they speak Russian or English. Very rare that the conversation's short. He's a guy that people like to talk to.
Well, yeah, because because he's new to this, he still tries to answer as many questions that he's getting on Twitter as possible. And usually people don't do that. And when you engage yourself in a conversation, in back and forth conversation with fans, friends love it because they can feel attached to, you know, the guy they're trying to get to.
And you mentioned in the article, and then I'll ask you about upcoming articles, but you mentioned that, you know, he's from a small area in Russia. He played in Sarnia, which is a smaller city, and he seemed to really enjoy the atmosphere in a bigger city like Edmonton when he was here.
Well, yeah, because he never played in a city like this. I mean, Edmonton is not the biggest city, obviously, even in Canada. But he was born in a town of a population, I think, 2,500,000, and then he played in Sarnia. So it's a huge, huge gap for him to be, you know, surrounded by all those high-rise buildings and skyscrapers and stuff like that. He was never really exposed to this for such a long time, right? Because sure, he would go to play for Team Russia, the World Juniors, to Calgary, and all he would see would be hotel, right? And now he understands that he can actually be a part of Oilers organization, and that this city of Edmonton would be his city. So he's excited.
Andre, where else can we read you? We know we got you a great article up on the Oilers Nation, and we look forward to your next one. But you're also at All Hockey RU and also write for the Hockey News, correct?
Yes, I do some work for the Hockey News. I mainly write for All Hockey RU and Sports.ru, which are two major sports websites in Russia. And I do occasional work here and there.
Well, we look forward to speaking to you again. I really thank you so much for your time, and that's a delightful article, and we really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
All right. That's Andrei Osachenko. You can catch him with the article that's up right at the top of the page on Oilers Nation called Neil Yakupov. I want to prove the Oilers, they made the right choice. It's a great article, and he speaks to a lot of different issues, one of which is the signing. He said, and I quote here again, lots of people ask me, what if you're offered a big contract? Would you leave? I thought I said everything that was needed to be said when I said I want to play in the NHL, yet they still ask me this. I want to play in the NHL. That's the bottom line. Knock it off. Every time I hear the guy, I saw a video right after the World Juniors where he was excited and they'd won and there was a big celebration and he said, we're the best. And I just hope that, and I am sincere in this, he's got such energy and such confidence, and I hope that he never loses that because, you can, you know, refine the rough edges if you like, but there's a guy with real spirit, and I think he's going to be an entertainer, not just on the ice, but off the ice, because he's very open, and I think everybody found that out on Twitter, over the last little while with regard to Neil Yakupov. And my thanks to Andrei Osachenko. Now, that is the end of this hour, and I want to tell you a little bit about coming up in the next 15 minutes or so. Jason Strudwick joined Oilers Nation a few months ago, and of course he's on Team 1260 quite often. I mean, he's basically been carrying Dusty on the morning show here a few weeks back, and he helps out Jason as well. And he's writing for Oilers Nation. In the last little while, he's written on the draft and also free agency, and kind of opened up his life and let us kind of see through a little bit about, you know, think about 10 straight years on June 30th, sitting down and saying, you know, I don't know where I'm going to play, you know, next year, because you're on a one-year deal. And it might be Chicago, might be New York, might be Edmonton, but you don't know. And, you know, that's an interesting other side of free agency, whereas I, as a fan, am just impatient for the next thing to talk about or to mull over or the next Oiler transaction. For hockey players and for their families, it's a great deal of stress, and we'll talk to Jason about that in the next half hour. Also on the way, Jonathan Willis from Oilers Nation and Cult of Hockey. Jonathan will talk to us about the draft, how well the Oilers did there, Justin Schultz and the major impact there, and then we'll go around the Northwest Division as we did with Kent, talk about the Edmonton Oilers and how they maybe slide up a little bit, and how much Minnesota has improved and how far ahead those darn Vancouver Canucks are from the rest of the pack in the Northwest Division. Don't forget, at 2 o'clock today, we've got Jungle Jim Hunter. He'll be on the air from 2 until 4 with the Jungle Jim Hunter Show, and at 4 o'clock today, our friend Jeff Crichel, Crichel Show on the way. It's 12:55. This is Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors.